Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 313.
A palindrome of sorts.
It is a palindrome of sorts. I mean, not of sorts, really. It's just a palindrome.
Sure.
So
but is it technically of sorts as well?
I don't know. Of sorts seems like you're saying kind of, but not really.
I would say it's palindrome.
Yeah, it's just straight up a palindrome. It's like, this is a podcast of sorts. Well, no, I mean, it's just a podcast.
True.
I don't know. I would say of sorts.
See?
Now you're talking about quality. Good or bad, it is a podcast. It goes up. It's available on iTunes.
Okay. So, yeah, fine. Yeah.
So
semantics.
Yeah. So let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Joe is not with us this week.
The rare non-Joe episode.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good track record. He has been called into duty because of the protests and potential fears of riots in St. Louis. So there was, for people that don't live in St. Louis, allow us to provide you with some backstory. So there was an officer-involved shooting back in 2011?
Mm-hmm. It was like 6 years ago. Yeah,
yeah, and the verdict came down, and I guess I should back. He shot and killed a black guy, was charged with murder because they thought that it looked murderous, and he was acquitted. And so now there are people who are less than happy about that. So there's lots of protests going on. We lost two major concerts over the weekend. They shut down the U2 concert
with Beck. I was more excited for Beck, yeah, personally, but.
And then they also shut down the Ed Sheeran concert, and now there's talk we might lose our Billy Joel concert. So
yeah. What is that?
That's on Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's been working, 12-hour days or mm-hmm. something?
Yeah.
So,
the police are all on 12-hour shifts.
Yeah. Yeah. So so he'll have lots of money here soon.
Okay.
Well, it's overtime.
That's true.
I mean, they get paid for it. I'm not saying that they're looking forward to it, but they do.
Yeah, I don't think it's like, you know, working on a Sunday or something like hot dog.
Right, yeah, no, totally. But I'm just saying. But I mean, but the flip side is he is gonna 12 hours overtime.
But will he do the podcast anymore once he's
making
rich?
All that money?
Yeah,
I don't know. I was gonna say, well, I mean, we don't have riots and protests every weekend, but we're getting there.
Yeah. You may remember us as the city with the Michael Brown case.
Yes, we are also that
city. People had just kind of stopped talking about.
Yeah, and so now we're right back in the thick of things. So
yeah,
we're gunning for you, Detroit. We mean that literally. We're literally gunning for you.
And shameless plugs.
Yeah. As Kevin tries to move things along. So shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. Joe, do you think we have a new review this week?
I bet we do.
We do. Even when he's not here, he gets it right. Even when he sounds like Mickey Mouse.
Because I cheated.
So this is from Sasquatch in Wisconsin.
Oh.
That's the name. So he or she, because Sasquatch is gender neutral.
Yeah.
I mean, there has to be both genders of Sasquatches.
Sure. How would they reproduce?
Unless they spontaneously switch genders like a those one frogs.
Right.
Or just like asexual.
Asexual reproduction, like amoebas.
Split and divide.
Yeah. Discovered Real Spoilers a couple of weeks ago and became instantly hooked, even went back and listened to their vast library of movie reviews. Tom, Kevin, Joe, and Dan are excellent hosts and crafted this podcast with a welcoming atmosphere, making you feel like you're sitting around with them sharing a love of movies, new and old, with plenty of witty banter and tangents to go around. Dan's video recovery is also great at bringing to light movies that have been lost to time.
Oh,
look
wow.
at that.
But what it really comes down to is Kevin's box office report.
I wanted to share my take on theater misbehavior, a subject talked about on the recent box office report. There, are you happy? Yeah. people talking in the theater is a huge pet peeve of mine. I find it mind-boggling that people are so clueless. I went to It Comes at Night earlier this year, and I had to encourage, quote-unquote, a couple of people to stop talking and playing on their phones. Always keep up the great work, guys. So thank you very much. What a nice review. It's always nice to pick up a new listener.
Yeah, that's so weird that especially in a horror movie where you're trying to build that atmosphere and you're in the mood and you kind of want to go to be scared or to right. be in a weird tension-filled thing, to be on your phone and ignore the quiet ambiance of the
And that's kind of
film.
An art house movie, too. So you yeah. would, like, typically the art house movies are, get more of a film connoisseur, more of a sophisticated moviegoer.
No riffraff or bourgeoisie.
Yeah, typically. You know, like, they're there for certain things. And so, mm-hmm. like, it's you would expect that more at It than It Comes at Night.
Sure.
So
true.
So, well, but thank you very much
Thanks,
for the nice
Squatch.
Review. Yes. So,
And let me say.
That's his welcome song.
That is how you speak Sasquatch.
Oh.
If you've ever watched Finding Bigfoot, that's what they would do is knock on the trees.
Excellent. And Dan actually brought in a tree for that, which was really impressive.
He's committed. He's committed. Yeah. Now, see, that's why we don't ask him if he's read the reviews, because he knows that there are reviews waiting, and he comes prepared.
Yeah.
This tree's making me itchy, though, so I'm going to take it back out.
Okay. We'll wait here.
See you in a minute.
Okay. So also don't forget you can join our League of Show Sharers. People who were kind enough to join the league this week, Lauren Bogard Lewis.
Is that a new one?
That's a new one, Dan. We're looking at you.
Whew. Okay. Giving it up for the LBL.
Dan's like, why did I ever start
Excellent.
Doing this? Other people who were kind enough to share the show this week, Librarian Cynthia, Jason Herndon, Chris James, Tammy Sherman Powers, Travis Tewitt, who shared the show even while on his honeymoon. He got married this week, so congratulations.
Well, congratulations, Travis. And
Mrs. Tewitt.
Yeah.
Now, he's not
sorry,
in radio.
Mrs. Tewitt.
No, he is not in radio.
Okay,
we've
just wanted
established,
to clarify.
We've established that he's not in radio, but he is happily married.
Oh, congratulations.
So other people that shared the show, Brandon Coleman, Richard Lawson, Nick Scott, Timmy Tuzoons, Chris Sanders, Jason Weesey, Griffin Fox Smith, Julianne Jordan, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Brent Smith, Tom Comiskey, Brad Hyen, Lane LeVanway, and I still forgot to look up how to say this guy's name, Chris.
Another week
Chris.
Goes by.
Well, it's like buried in a comment somewhere, and so I'm like, oh, man. Now
he said he officially changed his name to the Magic Man, so you can just call
Chris
him.
Chris Magic Man.
Magic Man.
There we go. He's going to get the tattoo on the tricep, the whole nine yards. So.
Not in radio?
Yeah.
What's Question that? Mark?
I don't think anybody's Chris? Left in radio.
Oh. So, radio is not even in radio anymore.
Just barely. So anyway, if you would like to join the League of Show Sharers, you can go to facebook.com/realspoilers and do such a thing. We greatly appreciate it. So there, we've knocked out all of that. We will now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin?
I do, Tom, and I think it comes as no surprise that once again it is the winner at the box office. Another $59 million after. I do believe we have to state a correction to our predictions. I mean, they were predictions, but still, we predicted $80 million. It came in at $123 million.
Yeah,
opening
I mean,
weekend.
What's interesting is when they first started tracking this movie, the industry was predicting $70 million. Yeah. So like it damn near doubled.
Yeah. I heard 50.
Yeah.
Like I think maybe before some like, more of the test screenings, like they were like, oh, we'll make 50.
Right.
And then it made that opening day.
Yeah. So. And hopefully this opens up people, the Hollywood, to going back and maybe redoing some Stephen King movies, but doing them properly.
Well, yeah, I'd love to see Maximum Overdrive get its due.
Or Cujo.
Long time coming. But, you know, it we talked about this when we went over the original, or I think when we went to our predictions, that it had a $35 million box office. Yeah. It is a beautiful...
A budget, you mean?
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Yeah. It had a $35 million budget. It is a beautiful looking film.
Yeah.
And I really think that comes from them going to the art house, going to an auteur, so to speak, for those visuals and the cinematographer. I think we mentioned he was the one that was on the original Old Boy. So obviously knows how to make a beautiful film. So,
and paying for, you know, some really good drones.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of drone shots.
Good drone shots.
But yeah, I'm amazed because, you know, I expected good things. It was getting a ton of buzz. I knew it would make money, but I honestly did not know it would be so good and look so good. I was impressed. I want to go back and just watch it to take it all in because, you know, of course I was watching, how are they going to change it? How are they going to tell this story? And you know, I was looking so much to the script and the characters that now I feel like, you know, once you've seen it, you can just take it in and admire it without waiting for what's going to happen. So, but yeah, a huge second weekend, $59 million. A lot of the other movies opening this week and in the last couple of weeks wish they would have opened to its second week take. So that's huge. It is now total at $217 million domestic. So it's a huge, I mean, 2 weeks in the theater to make $217 million on a 35 budget. And
what's the highest grossing horror movie of all time? I can't imagine it's far.
So it is the number two ranked horror movie of all time.
Isn't it like,
The Exorcist, $232 million, not adjusted.
Wow.
$232 million in 1973.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
Could you believe that?
Then I think there's probably a couple re-releases in there, but
would you like to know what it is adjusted?
I'm going to say, like, what, $600 million?
$983 million. The Exorcist in today's dollars would have made $1 billion. That is, it's the number nine highest movie adjusted of all time, domestically.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that big of a, I mean, I knew it was a big hit and a cultural phenomenon, but I didn't realize it was, like, adjusted for inflation, top 10 movies of all time.
I didn't realize it either. I think sometimes, honestly, when we go to the horror genre, you just kind of either forget or you just think, oh, horror movies don't make a lot of money. Like, you kind of just shove them to the side somewhere. And even though it's one of the most famous horror films, you just kind of put it in its own category. Oh, it's good for a horror film. But obviously, it's a huge film in its own right. The Sixth Sense is up there, $293 million unadjusted.
God, I wouldn't consider that a horror movie. Would you?
No.
It's like the horror supernatural is how they divide it.
Yeah.
So
no, I mean, I think people went into it thinking that, but no.
It's a supernatural thriller.
Yeah.
Yeah, they put them together again, so there's kind of a blending there. But The Sixth Sense, for back then in 99, it had a $40 million budget. So think about that, what is that, 18 years ago had more of a budget than it.
Right.
This is in week...
Although, if you think about it, they still had to pay Bruce Willis. So I bet you.
Oh, true. You Bruce know, Willis is.
But even if you take out what Bruce Willis gets paid, adjust that for inflation, still it Sixth Sense still had more money to play with.
Sure.
Yeah, in the 90s, Willis bucks had a higher value.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, just amazing for it. And it has made another $100 million overseas. So you're up over $300 million in 2 weeks on that $35 million budget. That's impressive. And so I...
Get ready for that Pennywise prequel.
Right? A couple spinoffs in there. So
they're going to milk everything they can out of this now.
Let's hope not. Let's hope that at least if they get the first two done, you know, and then, you know, whatever.
Or how long before they're going to take the second story, like, well, it needs to be two movies.
Oh, no, please don't split up the second one. Oh, if they do that, it's going to be so frustrating. But anyway, so that's it. But coming in at number two, another movie that opened this weekend, American Assassin, which they did not even screen here. So that's not usually a good sign. It opened to $15 million. That is, let's see if we have a budget on that one. That's Michael Keaton and the kid that was in The Maze Runner. They had to shut down that movie because he was injured.
Oh,
that's
okay.
the same kid.
Yeah.
Dylan O'Brien, I think is his name.
Did he make this before that, or did what happened there? Did they ever go back and finish that movie?
I honestly didn't look into it too much, but I was reading reports. I saw headlines that this is his first film since the accident.
Okay, so
I want to say it's post, and I guess they just took the insurance money and scrapped it because I've never heard of The Maze Runner 3 or whatever it was.
I think that's probably.
Second? Did they only make one, or was this the
third? No, I think this was the third. So we did the first one. They didn't screen the second one,
right.
So we didn't bother to do it.
Yeah.
And then they were making the third.
I think this is going to go the route of, what was it? Midnight Rambler, the Allman Brothers, Greg Allman movie.
Oh, gotcha, where that girl got killed.
Yeah, the stunt actress got killed.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that movie's not coming out.
Yeah.
And it could happen to Deadpool, too.
Oh, really?
I mean, I don't think it will, but, I mean, there's enough that is, I mean, that's going to be, that's going to come around to be a bigger deal.
Yeah, I just don't know how that movie gets shelved.
There's no way it's too big.
They're going to have to, you know what they're going to be doing is paying out some heavy, heavy fines.
Scoot that under the rug and move on. Because, what was Deadpool? Did that make like $700 million? Yeah, that's a huge.
They can't shelve a sequel. It's also a movie, though, that they should have been a little more buttoned up on, you know.
I completely agree.
Can you stop the upload?
Oh, yeah.
That's what we were.
Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Okay, so apparently it did not fare too well. I've heard some pretty negative reviews, but then I've also heard someone that said they enjoyed it. But, you know, $15 million, I don't know if that's a testament to the quality necessarily or if that's just coming out against it on week two after all the good word of mouth.
Yeah, I think if you're going to the movies this weekend, you're seeing it. I mean, with all the, obviously based on numbers, that's not a bold statement to make. But
you're not seeing Mother?
Yeah.
Based on the good word of mouth?
There is no good word of mouth. I just don't know how with so much buzz you don't go see it.
Now, if you didn't see it week one, obviously with a $59 million week two.
Yeah.
And that's an estimate based on Friday numbers, I believe, and they extrapolate that out. Yeah. So it could come out over $60 million easily.
And I think this is gonna be also a movie that will have legs because...
But only one arm.
Because Stephen King, his fan base... He's got an older fan base, and it takes them longer to get to the movies. They don't run out in week one. So we've seen that time and again.
We know.
With movies that target an older demo. And I think that this movie will also benefit from that, from people that, you know, read this book when they were 45 20 years ago or 25 years ago.
Right.
And I guess it was like 30 years ago. So if you read that book when you were 40, you're 70 now.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, I didn't think about it that way. Jeez.
Yeah, so you might want to see this movie, but you're not going to run out week one. Then when you hear good things, you're like, okay, I guess I will go catch this.
And, you know, when you're 72, honestly, and obviously there's always exceptions to the rule, but I don't know if you're 70 if you're running out to horror films.
Right.
You know, you're at the art house, you're at... I can't even think about it, but those like
Exotic Marigold Hotel.
That's exactly what I was thinking about. That's what you're at, right? So it
salmon
is
fishing in the Yemen.
Exactly. Right. That's funny. You thought of the exact one though that I was trying to couldn't remember the name because it's not like Helen Mirren or something. Or
Dev Patel.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
That first one was really good. The second one was
That's too bad. So good for it. And unfortunately, that's a swing and a miss for American Assassin. And that's Michael Keaton coming off a couple of really good films. I mean, really probably a few good films. I mean, you've got Birdman. You have him in Spider-Man, who is excellent. You have him in the McDonald's movie.
The Founder.
So, he's coming off some great films.
I think this will be a blip, though. This is a movie that, honestly, when I saw it, I was like, it looked like a... direct video release.
Yeah, I get to that. And it doesn't look like he's bad from the trailers. He's like a trainer for assassins.
I don't know that Michael Keaton's ever been bad.
No,
in anything.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been in some bad movies, but I don't think he's ever been
bad. He's one of those ones. It's like he invests in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he still tries.
Right. Absolutely. I've never seen him phone it in, that's for sure. He's a good actor, definitely. So moving on to number three, the movie of the week, Mother, brought in $7.5 million.
Now, this is a biopic about Danzig, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is Mother with the exclamation mark. They put
with Albert Brooks.
No, exclamation mark.
Yeah, and a lowercase m.
Yeah. So this is lowercase Mother.
Yeah.
That's how you have to actually say it.
Lowercase m exclamation point, that's how you know it's art.
And all the words are lowercase.
Yes. It's very artsy.
Except for a couple.
Yeah.
Got to catch those. But we'll get into that next time.
Will we ever?
But for now, Mother made $7.5 million, and I'm not sure I've seen a budget. $30 million.
So they spent $30 million on that? Million. Where?
They built the house twice.
It looks like they They invested quite a bit.
Yeah, it just didn't. I didn't think a movie with that kind of script would get $30 million.
No, I mean, we'll get into it next time, but they built two houses. None of that's green screen. They built a house,
and then
they went to another location and built a house.
There's a lot of crazy practical.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, at the end, it does get
crazy.
Yeah.
It's $29.5 million at the end.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right. Mean, it's, yeah, like, the $30 million is all spent in the last, like, 12 minutes. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're talking a $30 million budget, $7.5 million. It has a cinema score of F.
That seems a little gracious, but...
Well, it's the thing is that there's no way. We talked about this. We have some people that saw it at the Thursday early 7 p.m. show. And so we've been talking.
That's when I saw it, yeah.
Oh, did you? Okay. Yeah. So we had some people that were discussing it. So they've seen it a few days ago now. And everyone agrees that there's no way that audiences going into it to see a horror film are going to be like, oh, that was exactly what I thought.
This is such a head fake.
Those commercials just flat out lie to you about what this movie is.
Yeah. I loved it because in the trailer, they use like the old movie. It's like an old 80s trailer. And we're like,
The movie poster is cribbed. The design of the main movie poster. The first one is actually eerily accurate to what the movie actually is, which is the one that looks like a kind of a fresco painting.
Yeah.
And... holding her heart.
Yeah.
I was like, that's artistic, like it should be. What this movie is. The next one I saw is cribbed straight off of Rosemary's Baby.
Oh.
And I'm like, this movie is not Polanski. This movie is Jodorowsky.
Yeah.
So if you've seen Jodorowsky, you know, it's like that may have a lower cinema score for a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, like, honestly, I wish I had seen, and I knew going in that it wasn't the horror movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I knew
it's a trick,
you know, but,
and I warned you too.
Yeah. But like, well, and even then I was like, I thought it was going to be a horror. I did think it was going to have horror elements, but I thought it was going to be like, well, honestly, what you said, I thought it was gonna be closer to Antichrist.
Yeah. Right. And what did you ask me? You said, is this like a horror movie or is it or whatever? And I was like, I don't know. And I had seen it. I'm like, I don't know. You tell me. Like, I've
but I knew going in I wasn't seeing a straight up horror movie.
But
anyone that just trusted those commercials. Yeah. And honestly, I wish they had made the movie that was in those commercials. That one looked good.
I loved the trailer. I loved the movie voice guy. I loved the it almost seemed like Grindhouse-y, the trailer, right? Yeah. With all the blips and everything. And and then at the end, they're like, Mother, you know, that is a beautiful trailer.
Yeah, there's...
I only watched one trailer, and it's because I was in another movie, and, you know, I had to see it before. I don't watch trailers, but I'm like, oh, huh.
I watched no trailers for this movie, and I had only seen those two posters.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like...
Interesting.
And then I had seen, like, headlines about it, and so I knew going in that it was pretty divisive.
At the film festival...
I'm sorry, when it's an art house movie, it's divisive.
Sorry,
just to be clear.
The film festival, I don't know if it was Toronto or where it showed it, London. It was somewhere just a few days before we got it here. So they didn't show it like 3 months ago. It was at a film festival a few days early.
Because they didn't want people.
Right, to talk about it, sure. And it was very secretive. But for the reviewing press at the festival that they like go to see it, Aronofsky sent a 15-page paper explaining the movie to the press that were going to see it so they would know what they were getting. Like, no, wait.
Yeah.
Like,
nope.
They didn't want him to just leave it and say WTF. He's oh, here's this 15-page paper. Please understand this. Like, it's just interesting that they felt the need to send along information with it. That just tells you that they were getting ready for a...
Yeah.
So anyway, but we'll get into that next time. Number four, Home Again, which is the movie where Reese Witherspoon comes home again.
Oh, again?
Yeah.
That's after going into the wild? Or
Yeah.
No, what was
now
that?
She's back?
No, what was that?
What was her movie where she was walking?
Wild.
The Wild.
Yeah,
The Wild.
The Wild.
Yeah. Into the Wild's great. I love that movie.
Into the Wild.
Who directed that?
Into the Wild.
Was that Sean Penn?
I think it was Sean Penn.
Yeah. I liked her movie. I liked her walking,
walking
in the woods.
Yeah.
But now she's home again.
But she's home.
She's back home.
Did you like this movie?
I didn't see it.
Obviously, you didn't
care. So one of the listeners who...
Someone
did see it. No, it was Linnea.
Was that what it was?
Linnea went and saw it, and she's...
Oh, that's right.
And she said that it was about a woman who was recently divorced, I think, and so she lets three
like frat boys or college kids live in. Yeah,
she hooks up with one of them.
Yeah, I'm like, okay.
Uh-huh, interesting.
So. You see, yeah.
But anyway,
that's the kind of movie that Jacqueline Bisset would have been in the 80s,
right? Hmm.
Domino's.
That one, yeah,
it, shout out for the old guys.
Yeah, and it wouldn't have been like a feel good romantic comedy. It would have been more akin to like My Chauffeur.
Yeah, that's right. Deborah Foreman, Sam Jones.
If you guys say so,
with music from I'm forgetting the, but the band that did all the music for that, the main guy from that band, it was Marty Ross, who ended up in the New Monkees.
Hmm. Look at that! Okay. Mind blown.
How about that?
Look at that connection. Home Again, $5.4 million. That's a 37% drop. The movie has made $17 million, which sounds like it's making money. I can't imagine that. Yeah, $12 million budget.
The Wigs. That was the name of that band.
Sorry. Thank you. I was wondering. $17 million on a $12 million budget in 2 weeks. I mean, it's not a ton of money.
Congratulations on your profit.
Yeah, it's going to make money, so there you go. Number five, The Hitman's Bodyguard in week five. This is a movie that just, I think, as far as rated R comedies like that, there's just nothing else
it just,
out.
It just hit the gap.
Yeah.
Let's no competition for what they're doing.
And I'm not saying, I mean, I know that I'm in the minority for really not liking it, but I mean, for it to stick around this long and make this much, I mean, you would think that'd be a few weeks and then it would go away. But yeah, that's the movie if you want that type of rated R comedy.
So. On the They Live version of the multiplex, this one's called Action Comedy.
But it made nearly $3.5 million, which is a 27% drop in week five, $70 million budget. And if I remember correctly, it has a small, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. It has a domestic gross of $70.3 million so far, but it only had a $30 million budget. So I don't even see any overseas numbers. It's like it hasn't even been released overseas. So
yeah, it's probably not big. I mean, it will come out, but it's probably not big enough to like go and fight for that screen time week one. It's kind of when they can get it, they're like good enough.
Exactly. So yeah, 70 on a 30, they can't be too upset with that. So
you wouldn't think.
So that's that. But number six, Wind River, a movie that I saw over the weekend and thoroughly enjoyed. Definitely one of the best films of the year so far. $2.5 million, a 20% drop. It is up to almost $30 million on an $11 million budget. It is excellent. I would highly recommend it. A couple of people on the League of Show Shares recommended it.
And
I wanted to go see something yesterday, and it is so good. The acting, Renner, Olsen, they're fantastic. And the other actors, it really is a great film. So I hope that people remember it come Oscar time, because it is worthy. It's a film that should get some buzz. So definitely go out and see that one if you're looking for a light week, something to see. Number seven, Annabelle Creation, another one that's sticking around. Surprising, especially with it out.
Yeah. Although I'm kind of thinking maybe it's at the dollar show.
Yeah, maybe. But number seven brings it to $2.2 million, which is only a 45% drop. It is now at $99.5 million, so almost to that 100 number, and oversees it as almost $200 million. So we're talking about $300 million worldwide on a $15 million budget.
Jeez.
I mean, I guess when they chose to spin off these Conjuring movies, they
made the right call.
They definitely made the right call there. So
just more proof of brace yourself for that Pennywise prequel.
Yeah. It's amazing they're able to take these little characters, like, so they took the doll that I guess is kind of a throwaway in The Conjuring.
Yeah.
And then now the nun. You see a nun in a scene for this, and that's going to have its own.
Oh, the scary nun thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just building franchises around people resonate towards.
Yeah, so anyway, we'll see what happens with that
one. This is so much like Roger Corman filmmaking.
Yeah.
They like that. We should make that movie.
He said he's never lost
a dime. That's a man who, I mean, and I've talked about it before, but he literally did. They would do movie posters and hang them up in the lobby and gauge people's reactions. Yeah. People are like, I want to see that. He's like, make that one.
What a businessman. Like, that is show business.
That's brilliant. I love it.
He did it.
Yeah, and that's very interesting. Number eight, Leap. I believe that was Brad Hyland's favorite film of 2017, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so.
I think that's what he said. Yeah. So Brad says, if you get a chance, see Leap, ! It's Leap.
I believe he said, if you don't like this movie, he will personally refund your money.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's what he said.
So, Brad Hyland, do you have his email, or we can put in the show notes?
I'll put his home address in on the Real Spoilers.
Yeah.
Just go knock on his door. He's got the envelope of dollar bills just waiting for you. So. But anyway, that movie made $2.1 million.
You don't even need to show him a ticket stub. Just tell him, and he'll take your word for it.
Yeah, anyway, it's like those class action lawsuits where they're like, you don't have to show us your receipt. Just, you know.
Just return this postcard.
Yeah.
Sure, I
bought those class action lawsuits. Not the one that we're going to get hit with. But that's okay. Right.
I'm like, sure, I bought a knockoff diamond in Jamaica. Yeah. I'll take your $8.
Or I bought milk.
Yeah.
Have you bought 3 gallons of milk in the last decade? I mean, that's one where it's like, okay, if you can't fill that class action lawsuit out, like,
you're lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
I took advantage of one of those class action lawsuits once because it was, I guess, the credit card companies weren't converting your transactions properly when you made an international purchase. Mm-hmm. And so I had...
And you're a gambling addict. So
Well, we were on a cruise and we were in the Bahamas. I literally bought a t-shirt at the Hard Rock Cafe, like the most touristy thing you could do. But it was an international purchase. And I was like, I did it. And I got $25 back.
You got a free t-shirt.
I basically, like, and the t-shirt was $15. So I figured they paid me $10 to take a Hard Rock Cafe t-shirt.
Which is pretty much what anybody would do now.
Yeah.
In the 2000s.
Right. So,
but in the 80s.
In the 80s, man. Ooh,
those things were hard to come by.
They were.
Congratulations, Tom. That sounds like
they had cachet. Yes.
So Leap made $2.1 million, a 14% drop in week four. So, I mean, I guess kids movie. If you're not taking your kid to It, American Assassin, Mother, Home Again, The Hitman's Bodyguard, Wind River, Annabelle Creation, you're taking your kid to Leap.
Yeah.
If you think about the first seven movies, none of those are appropriate for children.
That's all you got.
That's it. So Leap has made $18.6 million domestic. It has made $81 million foreign, so it's around $100 million. There's no budget on it, but I think it came out overseas like 2 years ago. So this is basically just redubbing.
I think it's a French movie that they dubbed.
Yeah.
They dubbed English over.
Right. So, I mean,
it's all found money.
That's $100 million unless they're combining it with the original release, but usually they don't do that.
Yeah.
Usually if it's a re-release, it's a separate box office. So
gotcha.
If they just took this and redubbed it and made $100 million, like, that's ridiculous money for something you had. Mm. So someone's getting a raise over there at the old Weinstein company. Coming in at number 9, Spider-Man Homecoming. Talk about a movie I really wasn't trying to go for that at all. This movie is making a ton of money, and it's in week 11. It made another $2 million, which is a 0% drop. It's not one you see like right on the head a lot, but it's a 0% drop in week 9.
That means everybody went and said, we're not leaving.
But come around and you got to buy a ticket, so it's just like,
okay, fair enough.
Double. So Spider-Man Homecoming has made $330 million domestic. Overseas, $500 million. So you're talking about around $825 to $850 million on a $175 million budget. And it's got to come out on DVD soon.
It's coming out week 11. In October.
Okay, yeah, because usually the window we've talked about before is 8 to 12 weeks. That's the standard. It's in week 11.
If you buy the French copy of the 4K disc, you get the 3D one in there as well. So you get a 4K Blu-ray, a 3D Blu-ray, and a DVD.
Is Marvel still not, or Disney/Marvel still not releasing 3D with their discs?
They do on some. They do like the Marvel ones.
I wonder what makes them choose that. Like Frozen, is this so they can re-release it?
In 3D? Weird. Frozen, you know. It was released overseas, and you can get it pretty easily. But they never did do a proper 3D.
Why wouldn't they? And the only thing I think of is
about Disney's. Yeah. You know, I don't know.
It's weird. They're not going to release Spider-Man in 3D in the U.S. though. Is what you're saying.
Oh, no, the 3D version is what I'm saying is there's a version where you can get everything, but it's
4K
only
and 3D.
It's from Europe.
Got it. Okay.
But Spider-Man wears a beret the whole time.
Does he? Does it? Wait a minute. He doesn't do that dance, does he?
No, they took that out.
He does, but it's a tango, and he goes, ho, ho, ho.
Oh, that would be much better. Maybe Raimi will come out with the director's cut later and clean that up. He has a special edition.
He has a pencil mustache.
There's an editor's cut that is actually part of an official Spider-Man 4K release that's coming out, box set, and it's an editor's cut of Spider-Man 3.
Really?
Yeah, that I'm kind of interested in seeing.
Hmm.
And, well, we know what will end up on the floor, certainly.
It's the editor's cut, and apparently they make some revisions.
Interesting.
I would like to. But it's an official release. This isn't one of those fan things.
Right.
And they did that before, like with Spider-Man 2, they did a 2.5. Yeah, which was, I mean, Spider-Man 2 is good, but this was even better. They just added in more action that they weren't able to, you know, basically fund or finish.
Do you know who edited Spider-Man 3?
Topher Grace.
I mean, Topher Grace was in the movie, so I'm starting to think there's a connection.
He's
there.
Like, okay, let me fix it.
Yeah.
Well, he's like, I've been living with this now for
bring it in.
10 years or whatever. He's like, I'll do it. Because what was that?
If you want something done right.
Yeah. Was that 2008? Was that when the Spider-Man 3 came out? I think it was 2008. So almost 10 years ago.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's been a while. Because, yeah, we've had three Spider-Man movies since.
Yeah.
So that's Spider-Man making a ton of money, and will continue to do so on DVD soon. And coming and rounding out the top 10, Dunkirk, still sticking around. $1.3 million is a 30% drop in week 9.
Because old people are slow to get to the movie theater.
This is true. This is true. And this is not derogatory.
No.
It's just like literally they're like, I don't wait for the crowds to die. Yeah.
$185 million domestic and a whopping 320-ish overseas. So over $500 million worldwide on a modest $100 million budget.
Wow.
So. Awesome.
That's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
Wow.
So I guess that's my mic keeps drifting down.
I'm telling you, man, we got to bring it. Really, just one screwdriver. Tell me you have a single screwdriver in this house.
Crystal mine. It's probably, if we do, it's probably pink.
I could see Tom and Chris.
I would take Crystal's pink screwdriver over your. I don't know if we have one.
I can totally see, though, that Tom and Crystal are on a road trip driving somewhere. The car breaks down, and Crystal's like, I'll get it. She goes and opens the hood up and is working on the.
That's what you got AAA for. So that's it for this episode. Let's go around the table, and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan, and you can find me on Twitter at DanGrady67, GRANEY.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to continue the conversation online, you can find us at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. You can join the League of Show Sharers, and we're available on iTunes. Go there, rate, review, subscribe.
We may have found out who is responsible for the tangents, though. This is a cool 30-something
minute. I know.
I've been withholding tangents just because I have to make my daughter's soccer game. So
there you go. Maybe the next one will be more tangent filled. So anyway, that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Darren Aronofsky's mother, which sounds weird when you say it like that. We're going to tackle your mother.
Still sounds weird.
She's got a bad hip. How's your mother? So we will tell you how your mother is coming up on the next one. And trust me, you've been warned.
Mother. Tell your children not to walk my way. Tell your children not to hear my words. What they mean, what they say. Mother. Mother. Can you keep them in the dark for a while? Can you hide them
away? Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.